win in Indiana, it's over with, folks. It's over with. And then we focus on Hillary Clinton.
This race is effectively tied here in the state of Indiana. It is neck and neck. And it depends on turnout. It depends on turnout.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09, and today is Tuesday. It's May 3rd, 2016. It is Election Day in Indiana. The polls will open in about an hour or so there, depending on what time zone you're on. It's a big day in Indiana, a big day for the candidates. You heard Donald Trump and Ted Cruz there talking about the big vote today. There are some new polls out today that show not only does Donald Trump have a big lead in Indiana, but he's also gaining ground nationally. He's gained, according to NBC News, ground nationally about 6 points. He's up about 6 points in the latest national poll with 56% now among Republicans. A big day for the electorate in Indiana today. Vote early and often, of course. We're going to be talking about how the markets might be reacting to this today. Carl Icahn, who is one of the icons of business, if you will, and investing, has sort of chimed in on this. Of course, he and Donald Trump are buddies. Also, we've heard from Warren Buffett about the candidates as well, especially Donald Trump. And we'll talk about that first. But first, at the WGN Market Desk, here's your overnight market intel from around the world. There are no major economic reports due out today from the government, but automakers will release vehicle sales data for April as quarterly earnings reports continue to come in. CVS, Pfizer, and Freddie Mac all will report quarterly earnings today. Asian stocks mostly up today after U.S. stock indices moved solidly higher yesterday. Recently battered technology stocks like Amazon and Microsoft all posted gains yesterday, helping end a 7-point losing streak in the NASDAQ composite. The Dow Jones Industrial rose about 117 points. A survey finds Chinese manufacturing activity weakened further in April, despite government stimulus. A benchmark U.S. crude oil above $45 a barrel this morning, and the dollar fell against the yen and the euro. On the markets overseas right now in Asia, the Nikkei finished the lowest, off about 3%. Hang Seng is down as well. About a point and a half, percent and a half there in Europe this morning. All of the indices are lower. The Dow futures this morning off 113 points this morning. Let's bring in Heather Long. We're going to immediately talk about the economy and what's happening, whether or not we all have confidence in what's happening. Heather Long is with CNN Money, senior writer there, by Heather Long on Twitter. Good morning, Heather. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Good to be here, Steve. Big day for you all in the Midwest. We'll see what the voting looks like.
It is. I don't know if Indiana's going to be a bellwether today, but certainly it's on a lot of people's mind around the country, not just in Indiana. And I know you've done a little bit of reporting on this, so why don't we start there, about what some of the business leaders in the world are thinking of, not just the Republicans, but especially Donald Trump, Carl Icahn, Warren Buffett. What are they saying?
Yeah, it's fascinating, those two, as you mentioned, these two big icons of business, and they couldn't be more different right now. Carl Icahn, a big hedge fund manager in New York, he's known for buying companies and trying to influence the boards and change them up in order to make money, and he sounds very dire right now. So last week he came out and he said he sold all of his Apple stock. And didn't just say that. He went a step further and comments on television last week and said the day of reckoning is coming for the market. So definitely some pretty grim predictions there. He's aligned more with Donald Trump. Donald Trump even said he would love for Carl Icahn to be his Treasury Secretary. So far, Icahn has said he doesn't have the stamina for that. He's too old. But we'll see what happens as things progress. On the flip side is Warren Buffett. So Warren Buffett came out and had his great annual meeting this past weekend, and he's been known as a Hillary Clinton supporter. He has been a real cheerleader for the United States economy. He thinks that this election cycle, that people are just talking down the economy in a way that is totally unrealistic, to the point where over half of America believes that their children or the next generation will not be as well off financially as they will. And Buffett just will have none of it. He says that's ridiculous. The children born in the United States today are the luckiest on the planet. and he continues to believe that that Donald Trump is way off in his dire predictions for the economy.
Did I hear correctly, though, after questioning, though, Buffett said he would be okay with the President Trump?
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of. I don't think he really meant that he would support Trump so much as he was trying to say from a business perspective, he thinks it's overblown, you know, that there's all this analysis of, oh, if Trump becomes president, the United States economy would go into a recession, and these types of predictions about different policies. And I think what Buffett was trying to say is, look, if you're a value investor, you pick good companies that do well around the world, that he thinks no matter what policies are in place and who's president, he can still make money. So that's how more how I read it. But did you have a different take?
No, it's sort of what I, you know, it's, and it goes back to what we discussed previously in this program, and that is that whoever's president really doesn't impact the economy that badly because it's the Congress and there are lots of other things that go into it.
Exactly. It's not a dictatorship. This is certainly not China. You don't just say, we want to dig this hole or build this bridge and have it happen. I'm sure a few presidents would wish that could be the case.
Our conversation this morning with Heather Long of CNN Money will continue after traffic. And Heather, we're going to talk when we come back about our confidence in the economy. It's not so good.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks kicked off May on a positive note, shaking off last week's declines. The Dow Jones gained 117 points yesterday to end the day at 17,891. The S&P 500 picked up 16 points. The NASDAQ broke a seven-day losing streak, closing 42 points ahead. Gains in home building and non-residential construction helped to offset a drop in government projects, pushing construction spending in March to its highest level in more than 8 years. A new survey finds that uncertainty about the approaching presidential election has small business owners taking a wait-and-see approach to their companies. Bank of America Corporation polled 1,000 business owners and found their expectations for economic growth falling by nearly half from the same survey taken last fall. No, it isn't your imagination. Getting through security is taking longer because more travelers and tighter budgets at the TSA mean fewer blue shirts at the airport. Travel watchers say the problem could get worse as the busy summer season approaches. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, 520. We're back on The Opening Bell. Heather Long of CNN Money with us this morning. Heather, the Gallup U.S. Economic Confidence Index came out, and it shows that people are increasingly pessimistic about the economy. They're not so confident moving forward at its lowest level so far in 2016. Why?
You know, that's the conundrum right now. Certainly President Obama feels that way. He's been out saying, look, the economy is in a much better shape from a lot of indicators. Why are people so gloomy? And it's not just the lowest in 2016. The reading last week was actually the lowest since the end of August. And I think a lot of listeners will remember that period. That was when it looked like China was tanking. People were really concerned about a global recession, possibly even pulling the United States down. The market really sold off. So it was understandable then why people were really worried. Both the economy and the markets have been in very bad shape. We're in a very different period now. The Dow and the S&P 500 are actually up for the year. Not huge gains, but you know, they're not far off from their all-time highs. Certainly hiring continues to be strong. We'll get another look at that on the jobs report on Friday. So it's kind of a mixed bag what's going on today. And the best read that I can see on this confidence is it seemed to me that in 2014 and 2015, sort of heading into 2015 last year, there was this belief that the economy was gaining momentum. And we kept telling people, your wages are going to go up. There's really going to be a burst of growth. We've come out of the worst of it. And I think the problem is that hasn't happened. You look around, you say, okay, we're a year later, and we're still kind of in the same place. We're still worried about people's wages not going up fast enough. We're still seeing tepid growth. We had a really disappointing start, again, to 2016 in terms of our GDP. So I think people are looking around saying, where's that big boost that was going to come? And they're starting to get skeptical.
Yeah, and the GDP number is small. It's only 0.5% in the first 3 months. that's below the average of 2% in recent years. That may be one of the things, but certainly not the broader. Is it maybe they're seeing too much of the Fed on TV talk about how they're concerned, and maybe they're just reflecting that? I don't know. That's what I'm thinking.
Possibly. I mean, other people have also pointed back to the presidential election and how overwhelmingly negative the talk about the economy is. Both Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump talk often about a middle class that is dead, or the loser economy if you're Donald Trump. And so at some point you wonder, does that kind of talk sort of self-reinforce itself? I think the key is really, and we saw it the last few years, we often come at sort of a winter slump. I don't know if it's the weather, I don't know what. And then we come into a spring bump, if you will, a spring and summer bump where people start to go out and buy more and economic activity picks up, business activity picks up. But that's why I think this confidence index, these various indexes, are worth watching in the next few weeks. Do we start to, does it continue to go lower, which really would be alarming, or do we start to see it plateau and even come up a little bit? And that's really what we want to see. It's what we've seen in the past few years, but I think we're kind of on a precipice at the moment.
One of the people that you've quoted in one of your stories, I like the quote, says the biggest concern, this is one of the economists, is that we continue to bleed momentum.
Yes.
We don't have any forward momentum, it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, particularly right now. I don't know. It'll be interesting today. We're going to see get a look at auto sales, going to look at some of these auto companies. That's been a strong highlight, I think, in your little summary of what's going on in the economy. Another big boost has been housing has actually been picking up. But I think outside of that, a lot of the indicators have been very weak. Again, retail spending has not been where we want it to be. And so it continues to be this mixed bag in terms of trying to get a read on how people feel and where they're putting their money.
You know, and you mentioned the political part of this, and President Obama has to be wondering what the heck. Obama out, sort of, you know, because, you know, around this time in election cycles, we've through the history heard politicians say, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And
right.
If you ask yourself that question, honestly, you have to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Is that an accurate way to portray it? And are people just maybe just getting the wrong message somewhere?
Well, I've been a little bit more gloomy on that. I do think overall the economy is in a better place than it was 4 years ago, certainly than it was 8 years ago. But I think that there's two things that continue to weigh on the economy, and I think President Obama himself has admitted that, and then Hillary Clinton, and she campaigns very closely in line to his economic record. And that is, it's rebounded, we're in a better place, but this notion of why aren't middle class incomes going up? We talk a lot about how the middle class today is earning basically the same amount that they were in the mid-1990s. And so I think people feel that there's this frustration of why am I not in a much better place than I thought I would be by now in this part of the recovery. So they see that the stock market's doing better. They see that there's some economic growth and that there's a sense of why am I not feeling it more. I think the other thing when I talk to people around the country, and I'd be interested in what you've heard, but it's this anxiety that's still there. I call it the hangover from the Great Recession, where even people who have jobs, even people who you would say, wow, you're doing pretty well, you are better off than 4 years ago, they feel that this anxiety, because they have seen people in that Great Recession, maybe they've been laid off or they've had a close relative or somebody on their block, their neighbor across the street who's lost their job, and it is far more real to them that they are one step away from financial ruin than it was in the past.
And I'm seeing the same thing, too, hearing from folks that they just are very reluctant to spend money on anything, any big ticket items, anything. They're more interested in saving money. So that
and you pointed your segment pointed to that small business survey, and that's also frustrating as well. Is that on the business side, it's the same thing. Whether it's small business or big business, that they are also in their business confidence indexes, particularly negative when they look out over 6 months to the next year. And so there's, again, we're not seeing the business spending and business investment broadly that we would like to see that really would indicate strong growth a year from now.
Heather Long, senior stock market and economy writer at CNN Money on Twitter at by Heather Long and CNN.com. Heather, thanks for being with us in the opening bell.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. SpaceX has a rocket ready to go later this week. They're going to launch later, I believe it's going to be on Thursday, a rocket that will deliver a Japanese communications satellite into orbit. The launch tentatively scheduled for 12:21 a.m. Central Time. Actually, it is Wednesday morning early. SpaceX has just won a big contract, and they're pushing forward with plans to go to Mars. This was a big announcement last week. Elon Musk and the company say it's time to stop talking about this and time to head to the red planet. ABC News correspondent Mark Remulard is with us this morning from New York. He's been covering the story. Mark, it seems Elon Musk has big plans and wants to get on with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Elon Musk, part of his plan is he wants to colonize Mars eventually. That's his goal. He's actually said, I want to die on Mars, just not on impact. And so the company is moving forward with the plan to try and begin sending an unmanned space capsule to land on Mars as early as 2018. So it's a pretty incredibly fast timeline here when we think about how much preparation goes into these kinds of missions. Doing this within the next 2 years would be a pretty fantastic timeline. We'll have to see if it actually comes to fruition that quickly, but they're saying that's as soon as it could happen.
There's been a lot of planning, both privately and publicly. NASA's been doing a lot of testing and planning. Even their earliest date is something like 2025, I think. So how realistic really is that 2018 date?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think we'll have to see as this goes on, since this was kind of the first initial announcement of this plan. Elon Musk is going to release more data on it this summer, or at least a more comprehensive plan this summer in Mexico at the International Aeronautical Conference. And so we'll get more details there, which will probably help us kind of figure out what the timeline is and how realistic that is. But yeah, I mean, it goes to speak about how fast this would come together if you compare this time here, 2018, compared to what NASA is hoping to do by 2025, 2030 range. So, I mean, we're talking more than a decade down the road and for them. But Elon Musk is hoping to do it in 2 years. So we'll have to see.
And so maybe as you get into the details of this, you see that these are test missions, presumably without humans. So this would just be sending the rockets.
Yes, this is just sending a space capsule to do a soft landing on Mars, which essentially NASA and SpaceX will work together on this. They're kind of going to be there's no money transfer, but what they're getting in exchange is data and support. So NASA will help with the mission, and basically in exchange for all this data that SpaceX will collect when they go through with this mission. So what will happen is, I mean, there's so much logistical issues to be worked out with sending a human to Mars. It's a very, very complicated process. And so this would be the first step to send a spacecraft there, land it on the planet, have that go successfully, collect data on what it's like landing something with, you know, we've landed on the moon, but there's no atmosphere on the moon. So you have to worry about things like that, slowing them down, the reentry, that kind of thing. And so there's a lot to be worked out. So this will be an initial phase to get data that can be used to further the possibility of humans eventually going to Mars.
As one looks at Elon Musk and watches him talk about this, you get the sense that he feels like, okay, we've done enough talking about this, it's time to just do it.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, you can see how ambitious he is in general. When Tesla, his other company, was looking at their expanding the range of its vehicles, you know, at the same time that he was proposing like a $5 billion battery factory, he was trying to also pour billions into those new superchargers around the country. So, I mean, if you look at his other company in that respect and SpaceX, It's very ambitious. Everything that he does with his companies have seemed to be very ambitious, and very ambitious with not just the feats that they want to to do it in, but the time that they want to do it in. So yes, this is a very ambitious thing, and they hope to launch the Falcon Heavy, which is the big payload carrier. It can carry a very heavy amount of payload, talking tons of material that can go up into space, and this will be critical in them being able to send a space pod, the spacecraft, all the way to Mars. And so they'll be launching that later this year, and we've seen them continually, almost on a monthly basis, launch the Falcon rockets, and actually had their first successful one last month. So yeah, it's a very ambitious timeline, but it's also a very ambitious company.
And one has to also ask about the other private space companies. Are they going to sit by the sidelines and watch this, or are they also eager to do this, or will they help?
I think it depends on what company you're talking about. So if you're talking about, for example, Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos's company, they really have a different goal in mind for what they're looking to do when they're talking about going to space. Blue Origin is a tourism-based space company. So you fly up, you don't actually enter orbit, you fly up, I don't remember the exact feet, but you fly up into the upper atmosphere, and you get these stunning views of Earth, and then you come back down. Versus Elon Musk is really looking to contract with NASA. This is why they've started sending payloads to the space station, sending up satellites. So that's one way that they see a future for them to start making money that way, and becoming an enterprise. And then now also looking for the future towards colonizing Mars, which is the eventual goal for Elon Musk. And so it depends on the company, but at least it seems right now that this step that SpaceX is taking is beyond the simple space tourism step that we've seen these private companies do. This is actually a goal to colonize Mars one day, and so we'll have to see that maybe a long way down the road. But that's so it has a different goal in mind.
The movie Martian coming to life.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of logistics that have to be worked out.
ABC News correspondent Mark Remillard with us from New York this morning here on The Opening Bell.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 548. Welcome back to the program. On the market futures this morning, Dow futures off 118 points this morning already. NASDAQ S&P futures also lower after a rough night in Asia and also in Europe. Let's get the latest on commodities now. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Steve, thank you, and good morning, everyone. Well, yesterday afternoon, grain traders were waiting for that planting progress report. It may have been a little bit of a surprise because as of Sunday night, 45% of the nation's corn acres have been planted. Most of the progress last week in the early half of the week, when dry conditions allowed the planters to roll, because about midweek into the weekend, planters were stopped because of the rain. Soybean planting, 10% complete. Spring wheat planting, 69% complete. And the good to excellent rating of the winter wheat crop stands at 61%. Not bad. And at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, live cattle futures managed to extend their gains. Last week, we saw cash cattle prices mostly at $124 a hundredweight in the Plains area. That was down $3 from the week before, but probably undervalued compared to current futures prices. And we're not the only ones having interesting weather situations. In Brazil, they have cut the size of this year's corn crop by 7.6 million tons. That takes it down to 79.5 million tons because of dry weather. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. It is 5:50 now, and next on the program, a big change for something that is a part of your youth, I'm guessing. Also part of the seventh inning stretch that we're all so familiar with, Cracker Jack is making a big change. Starting this season, this spring, they are taking the prizes out of Cracker Jack. They're going digital. It's already caused jokes. This one on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to your long delayed but totally worth it punchline. This is the worst thing to happen to Cracker Jacks since the FDA made them remove the crack.
Joining us this morning is Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune, who's been writing about this. Phil, I think you probably, based on reading what you've written, feel a little like I do, and that is, what?
Yeah, it's a bit of a cheat. Look, I get it. You know, they're trying. Everybody's trying. You, me, our boss, everyone wants to reach millennials. They think this is the way to do it. I have some doubts. I mean, I think, you know, these days, I'm not sure the youngest people are eating Cracker Jack. I don't know that they have the attachment to it that maybe you and I do from years back. But let's not kid ourselves. The prizes had gotten really kind of mediocre as they went to cut costs. They didn't want it to be something that could be swallowed. They didn't want it to be something that could affect the taste of the food. But a QR code, because I'm thinking, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to stare even more at a screen. That's right. A real prize for me.
And what is the prize actually going to be? I was watching, it took me forever to find a promotional video of this last night to see what some of these prizes might be. I'm still confused. I don't know what they're going to be.
Well, one is, you know, they're all sort of, these are sort of based on baseball's video boards and this sort of thing. One is, or two of them are, one is a dot race. You can play a dot race because, you know, again, this is something that you now associate with the ballpark. So that's the one. And the other is that you can be on the dance cam on your screen. In other words, you can see yourself on your own phone, projected onto a fake scoreboard on it. The other two, you can create an autographed picture of yourself or a baseball card of yourself. Again, there's a certain vanity to this in that you're part of the dot race and you're part of the dance cam and you're the autographed picture and the baseball card. But again, these aren't necessarily huge leaps beyond what you can already do with any number of apps. So again, I don't quite get it. I'm sure it'll save them some money. I'm sure it will enable them to do some tracking of you. I think it's probably more interesting to guess how many peanuts you're going to get, whether it's going to be five or less or more, you know, or what the over-under on peanuts is, because there never seem to be enough of those.
Yeah, and they might as well just go ahead and cancel the seventh inning stretch right now, because this is, you know, it's a little personal too, Phil, because Cracker Jack was born here in Chicago. And
it was in the 19th century, although I couldn't find any evidence of the legend that it was involved at the Columbian Exposition of 1893. I couldn't find any evidence of it before 1896.
And this is another reason, at least for me, to hate millennials. I just
Well, it's not the millennials that did this. It's the people trying to court them. I'm convinced it isn't really, you know, if you ask them what do they want, they probably don't have a preference one way or the other. But I think, you know, there's always a marketer out there somewhere desperate to sell something to someone. And in this case, it's them. And this is their best effort, but I have grave doubts.
And you bring up a good point, and that is, and it's something that always bothers me and worries me, is where are we going too digital? Are there too many screens? And you know, when we have the VR goggles and everybody's walking around downtown with those things on, walking into traffic, I mean, what does the future hold?
Well, you know, the good thing about the walking into traffic with the VR goggles is the cars will be driving themselves. But I don't know. I think what it is they say, that, you know, people always chase whatever is successful, and that's successful. But I think there is a certain appeal to, and to a certain audience, a certain appeal to the old-fashioned. And for years, I think, going back to the take me out to the ballgame, you know, I think there's that sort of nostalgic appeal to Cracker Jack. So I think they're going, they're outthinking themselves, I think, a bit on this. I think you'd do better with something, you know, like a very old-fashioned prize, like the silly magnifying glass that nobody really used but everyone got, than to try and do this.
Yeah, or maybe a decoder ring, or even a base. How about this? A baseball card. Put a baseball card in there.
Well, that's they've tried that over the years. That was one of the original prizes. Yeah. was a baseball card. You know, there is a certain amount of expense into buying the rights to the players' likenesses and all. There didn't used to be, but there is now. And so, I don't know. I don't know what the economics of the prize is vis-a-vis the rest of the Cracker Jack, but, you know, again, this is the state of business in the 21st century.
Phil Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune. You can read more of his stuff at chicagotribune.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Phil_Rosenthal. Phil, thanks for being with us this morning.
Always a pleasure.
Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow morning with the opening bell.
When you gotta eat something, it's gotta be sweet, and it's gotta be a lot. And you gotta have it now. What do you want?